April 2024. Could our advanced nerves be a deformation caused by an ancient infection? Researchers have demonstrated that myelin, a key element of our nerve fibers, can be a deformation caused by a virus that infected some jawed fish 360 million years ago, and thus, who we are, including to some extent our intelligence, originates from that infection. This is Laboraverum News. My name is Ed Kenelosh. Hello. At the end of the Devonian, 360 million years ago, primitive land plants had evolved enough to begin to spread over dry land and make extensive use of new inventions, leaves and true roots. They were followed by the first animals on land, arthropods. Yet the Devonian was not their time. It was the age of fish, a form of life that flourished, was numerous and dominant. Fish made its own invention, jaws. Some fish remain jawless and survive to our days as jawless. These are hagfish and lampreys. However, jaws turned out to be a real breakthrough, the breakthrough, and made possible the emergence of amphibians, reptiles, birds, and mammals with their 60,000 species of modern animals, including sharks, frogs, crocodiles, chickens, dogs, whales, and us, humans. Just as we can become infected with contagious diseases today, various species of ancient jawed fish contracted their own infections, including the retrovirus. Retroviruses insert their genetic information into the DNA of host cells, and this modified DNA produces new copies of the virus. This is, for example, how HIV works and how it causes AIDS. After retroviral infection, the host DNA often cannot fully clear itself and remains contaminated with fragments of the virus genetic code. These residues can be passed on to children and from children to their children and thus be inherited from generation to generation. Traces of past viral infections are usually silent, do nothing, and are considered genetic garbage. This may seem crazy, but 40% of our DNA is just such garbage, traces of viral infections that our ancestors survived millions and millions of years ago. Now, it turns out that some specific remnants of viral genes that have been stuck in our DNA since the retrovirus infected Devonian jawed fish play a vital role in the production of myelin, the insulating sheath that surrounds the axons of neurons in all animals, from jawed fish up to evolutionary ladder to amphibians, reptiles, birds, mammals, and humans. By analyzing various sections of DNA, scientists identified a specific sequence, RNLTR12INT, a remnant of an ancient retrovirus. This sequence can bind to and activate one of the factors involved in the transcription from DNA to RNA of information necessary for the synthesis of myelin. Inhibition of these viral remnants resulted in impaired myelin production. The researchers found this DNA sequence in various jawed vertebrates, but have not been able to find it in jawless vertebrates or in vertebrates. Further analysis showed that this genetic sequence was introduced into DNA by retroviruses at the stage of ancient jawed fish, before jawed fish gave rise to subsequent evolutionary lineages. Moreover, this virus appears to have infected not one fish once, but various jawed fish species many times, suggesting that the virus was quite widespread and was highly contagious at the time. Myelin increases the speed of neuronal signal transmission along a section of a nerve fiber by 5 to 10 times, but the total effect on the speed of signal transmission and processing in real conditions in real nerves can reach 100 times. For example, whereas unmyelinated axon conduction velocities range from about 0.5 meters per second to 10 meters a second, myelinated axon can conduct at velocities up to 150 meters per second. The key to understanding how isolation can increase signal speed is the fact that nerves are not electrical wires and the signal is not electrical current. Just compare. The speed of a neural signal is 100 meters per second and the speed of electricity is 270,000 kilometers per second. So electricity is about 3 million times faster than a neural signal. A neural signal is a moving wave of ionic imbalance between the outer and inner surfaces of the cell membrane. So, you understand, there is a cell membrane. There are ions on either side of it. There is a certain balance between the ions outside and inside. And then, for some reason, an imbalance arises. And this imbalance moves from one end of the nerve fiber to another. This movement is a neural signal. The inner surface of the membrane is usually negatively charged because there are relatively few positively charged sodium ions in the inner space compared to the outer space. When sodium ions move inside and the inner surface of the membrane becomes positively charged, this is the disbalance that I am talking about, or action potential. Then everything returns to normal. Sodium ions return to the external environment and inner surface of the membrane acquires a negative charge. The disbalance disappears. Let's take a simplified example of two molecules of table salt. Each molecule consists of one positively charged sodium ion and one negatively charged chlorine ion. If one salt molecule is in inner space and the other molecule is in external space, then the charge on the membrane is zero, right? The charges of these four ions cancel each other. It is one positive sodium ion and one negative chlorine ion in the inner space, and exactly the same number, one positive and one negative, in the external space. So the resultant charge is zero. Usually, on the nerve cell membrane, the situation is somewhat different. The inside space contains only one ion, the negatively charged chlorine, so the charge here is minus one. The external space contains two positive sodium ions and one negative chlorine ion. The resulting charge here is 1 plus 1 minus 1 equals plus 1, positive 1. Generally speaking, there are the same two molecules of salt, but the charge inside is negative, created by a single chlorine ion, and outside it is positive, created by two ions of sodium and one of chlorine. This is the situation most of the time. Sometimes something happens. A membrane transporter is activated and starts transporting both sodium ions from the external space inside. The situation becomes reversed. Only one ion remains outside, negative chlorine, and inside there are two sodium ions and one chlorine. So the inner surface of the membrane now has a positive charge. This is where the imbalance lies. What happens next is that the positive charge on the membrane makes the transporter stop working and sodium ions are no longer transported inside. The positive charge on the membrane also activates another transporter, the reverse transporter, that begins to throw sodium ions out. The situation returns to normal. Only one chlorine ion remains inside and three ions appear outside, two sodium and one chlorine. But the abnormal positive charge on the inner surface of the membrane activates transporters located on the adjacent area of the membrane, and those transporters begin to bring sodium ions inside there. Now the imbalance is created in that area. The positive charge in that new area then triggers transporters in the next region of the membrane, and the charge there also becomes positive, which triggers transporters even further away. This wave of ionic imbalance moves forward and is precisely what is called a neural signal. By the way, the signal can't go back, because in the previous section of the membrane, the transporters have been just deactivated and will not be able to work again until the balance of ions completely returns to normal. But how does insulation help here? Ions cannot be transported through the insulation and no ion imbalance is created in the isolated area. However, if the next area without insulation is close enough and the charge is strong enough, the transporters will activate there, in that area, skipping the entire distance. The signal simply jumps straight to that area instead of going there step by step. Think about this example. You can climb the stairs to the 20th floor step by step, spending probably 20 minutes on this. Or you can simply press the button in the elevator and you will find yourself on the 20th floor in like 20 seconds. Still, if you choose to use the staircase, there is no way you can be on 20th floor in 20 seconds, in spite of the fact that there is an elevator in the building. But if you are the client of the choice, the insulation actually blocks the entrance to the stairs, there are no more stairs available, you will have to use the elevator and you will be on the 20th floor in 20 seconds. In the case of insulation, buildings without elevators could not survive. But in those buildings where it was possible to have an elevator, insulation led to a sharp acceleration in the movement of visitors between floors. And not only this, the advent of elevators, essentially jumps between floors, allowed the construction of even taller buildings. You are no longer limited to staircases with their series of countless steps. This means that nature can now build much larger bodies. Elevators also allow the visitor, the same visitor, to make dozens or even hundreds of trips between floors in 1 hour, no matter how far those floors are located from each other, which is simply impossible in buildings without elevators. This means that nature can now introduce and deploy increasingly complex methods of information processing. Myelin forms sheaths of 1/10 to 1 millimeter in length, with insulation-free gaps between the sheaths 1/1000 of a millimeter long. In our example, it's like having one elevator stop for each 100 to 1000 steps in a staircase. The neural signal jumps from one gap to another, covering huge distances, sometimes an entire millimeter in just one movement. It is myelin that makes the white matter of the brain white. This matter is white because myelin is white. Myelin makes it possible for nature to grow large bodies, where certain parts might be in several meters from the brain and still participate in the information exchange. Compare our sizes with the size of jawless fish. Most importantly, myelin makes it possible to process enormous amounts of information that ultimately resulted in the development of our intelligence. And finally, it is no coincidence that a virus that leaves traces in the host DNA is specifically retrovirus. Retrovirus is an RNA virus, which means that its genetic information is not encoded in DNA like ours, but in RNA, ribonucleic acid. There are several groups of RNA viruses. For example, influenza virus is also an RNA virus. When influenza virus infects a cell, its RNA becomes a template for the synthesis of messenger RNA, which in turn is read by the cell's ribosomes to synthesize viral proteins. Thus, DNA of the host cell is not involved at all. Unlike flu virus, retrovirus needs to change our DNA to reproduce. In the host cell, the virus uses its RNA as a template to synthesize the corresponding DNA sequence. Can you believe it? DNA is synthesized on RNA. Now, to begin functioning, this viral DNA sequence must be incorporated into the host DNA, become an integral part of it, be treated as a part of the host DNA. And indeed, for cellular enzymes, new DNA is undistinguishable from the original DNA. The host cell synthesizes proteins based on DNA without seeing the difference between its own original DNA and the newly inserted DNA. This is how viral proteins are created. This new DNA sequence remains in the host's DNA and is passed on to subsequent generations in the same way as the host's DNA. Most insertions have no known function and are often referred to as junk DNA. An example of a retrovirus infection in humans is HIV. Well, I think this is it for the story of a viral infection that affected some jawed fish 360 million years ago and how this infection made the emergence of us, humans, possible. You can find a detailed list of references along with the main points of this story and many other stories in our Facebook page. It was Ed Kenelosh, Laboraverum News. Thank you and goodbye.